It's Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN. Maybe you saw the press conference yesterday. Maybe you read about it in the Tribune. The Chicago Police Department issued a report saying, basically, hey, we're making changes. Just like everybody told us we need to do, we're making some changes. The Tribune has been all over this, and especially over the graduation rates at the academy for the Chicago Police Department. Dan Hinkle is a reporter with the Tribune, and he joins me now. He had a couple big stories. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate this.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I will start by saying I'm a big supporter of the police. But I read things, and I'm not one of these people who will blindly say everything's great when they're not great. So I'm reading your story about the graduation rates at the academy, and I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty good. We're graduating a lot of police officers. This must be great for the city. That's not quite true.
I think there are differing opinions on the topic, but what the experts I talked to said, and I think intuitively, it's not hard logically to come to the conclusion that if everyone is passing, that you're not, or nearly everyone is passing, right, that you're not screening out a whole lot of people. When, you know, Los Angeles is screening out about a quarter of everybody who comes into the academy, and even a place like New York is screening out like about 7%, that Chicago's rate of 97.2% over the course of the last 4 years suggests that they, you know, that for whatever reason, people aren't failing and they're not screening people out.
Well, and that was one of the things that came out in the Justice Department report months ago, that the training was woefully out of date. So we have that piece of information, and now this, that people seem to be just skating through, and that's not your, those are my words. You were much more, you know, accurate and factual in your reporting, but it does seem like a problem. So, of course, you talked to the CPD, and what was their response to this?
They said, hey, we are stringent in our standards as to who gets into the academy. They say that we do, you know, we have a rigorous screening process. That doesn't fully put to bed the question of why their graduation rate is so much higher, because it's not like New York and Los Angeles aren't examining their people,
yes,
or aren't doing background checks or psychological exams or anything like that. So,
well, one of the people you talked to, the quote that stuck out to me was that New York and L.A. are kind of on a different level than Chicago. Why?
I mean, I guess contextually, you know, I can't say exactly why, but I think contextually it's important to remember that Los Angeles, for example, has been in the process of reforming its department, changing its standards for, you know, decades. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody remembers, you know, Rodney King and O.J. Simpson and things like that.
Sure.
Their process of reform started a long time ago. I can't say that that is the reason that, you know, that they end up screening a lot more people out of the academy, because I just don't know that. Mm-hmm. But they definitely are at a different place with demographics, crime, police reform than Chicago is.
So we look at these numbers, again, a 97% graduation rate from the academy over the last 4 years. And even universities, high schools, some don't have that kind of graduation rate. So you talked to a professor from the University of Chicago, a law professor, and what did he think that this all boiled down to?
Well, that was Craig Futterman, and he's a law professor at the university, but he also, you know, studies policing. He's one of these people that you hear from a lot on topics such as this, and his take on it was that it's evidence that they're not really taking seriously the idea that they have to screen people out, mm-hmm, which in saying that, he is to some extent reinforcing what was said by the Justice Department when they said, you know, you guys are not really screening people out. You guys are not really doing particularly rigorous training. I mean, one of the key things that jumped out at everybody from the Justice Department report was that they saw somebody sleeping at the academy, like a recruit,
okay,
during training, which, you know, if you take that as a data point, does not suggest extreme rigor.
What's the upside for the CPD to not be more rigorous? It doesn't seem like there would be any upside. So why, if this is right and their standards are slipping and they're letting people skate through, what's the benefit to them?
I guess I'm not sure. One of the experts that I spoke with said that he thinks that, I mean, these are people, your employee. The recruits are actually hired into the department. Mm-hmm. So in order to get rid of a recruit, you have to actually fire them.
Okay.
So, you know, and there are a lot of institutions and organizations that are at pains to avoid firing people because it can lead to litigation. It can be, it's difficult in a ton of ways, so.
Well, that leads to a sidebar that you wrote with this story about a former recruit who's now a police officer. He was fired for, depending on who's making this statement, he claims he was fired because he was Polish.
Yes.
That doesn't really seem to ring true. There's a lot of different ethnicities on the police force. The police department claims he was fired because repeatedly he could not pass the firearms test. He lied about reading the firearm manual. He lied about some other things, and he just was not a good recruit, and they feared he would be an awful police officer. He then took them to court, and now he's on the job.
Yeah.
So that seems to back up your claim and the other experts that, you know, all right, we could fire somebody, the CPD, but they're just going to end up on the force anyway. That seems wrong.
Well, it's not unlike the system as a whole, wherein, you know, frequently the police board will fire an officer for something, and that officer then has absolutely the right to go into Cook County Court and say, here's why the police board is wrong, I'm suing them, I want my job back. And this is a situation that's a lot like that, where the Human Resources Board told him he was not eligible to be a police officer. He took it before a Cook County judge, and the Cook County judge said, well, when you fired him, your explanation to him as to why he was not eligible is just insufficient. So he's now a Chicago police officer with a badge and a gun.
And again, I think that seems crazy to me, that a judge would know better than the people on the police department as to who would make a better police officer.
Yeah, that's judicial oversight for you.
So what can be done? I mean, obviously, and we could talk a little bit about the press conference yesterday, the police department presented a big 26-page report yesterday. They're going to make all kinds of changes. According to the Tribune, not so much going on in that report. The changes are basically rehashing what the Justice Department already said. But in the short term, after this report, what if anything, are they doing about the academy?
It's not completely clear exactly what's going to happen with the academy. There, I guess you could separate what happens at the academy into two different classes. Things that they do for incoming officers, the new recruit training,
right,
and then things they do in the way of in-service training. I think in-service training has gotten significantly more attention.
Mm-hmm.
This story was kind of trying to focus on new recruits.
Right.
The new recruit training is currently subject to an examination by a panel. It is unclear to me what the eventual result, it's unclear, period, what the eventual result of that panel's work will be, but they are tasked with figuring out basically an overall reworking of the department's curriculum.
Well, they have to, because, again, based on your report, there was a superior officer or someone from the Justice Department, I forget which one, but they talked to a probationary officer while they were out on patrol and asked him about the use of deadly force. And that officer could not tell them correctly what the policy of the CPD was with regards to deadly force.
I believe it was that five out of six, they talked to six people, and five of them could not correctly articulate the standard for using force. And force has obviously been a pretty major issue.
Yeah, just a little bit. So that this should be a priority for the mayor. Does it seem like it is? Or is this a lot of showboating and grandstanding, as you know, for the cameras? Because yesterday, everybody was there, Tribune included. We were all right there in front watching this press conference.
Well, you know, like I said in the story, it's the political situation has changed. We are not, you know, the election of Donald Trump led to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has signaled he's pretty cool on the idea of having a court-enforced consent decree. So I think a lot of the federal pressure is off of the city as of now. Yesterday's press conference...
But that's not going to change the public's pressure and state pressure and everybody else, is it? Or do you think it is?
I guess that's a matter of the political calculus. You know, like, do they... We don't know. We don't know what they're going to do going forward. We saw what the police department did yesterday, which was a release report that was specifically designed to say, hey, we still care about police reform. That was what it
yeah.
that was largely the point of it, that we're doing all this stuff.
Okay.
Will they do it? I don't know.
Now, a lot of people say, well, what about the money? It's got to be crazy expensive to revamp the whole system at the police academy. We already know the city is strapped for cash. The PD is strapped for cash. We're not getting any help from Springfield. Where can they go without the money?
That's a good question. I have no idea. They are hiring. I mean, they are endeavoring to hire an amount of police officers that could end up being more than 2,000 at this point.
That's the goal for what, the next 2 years or 4 years from
by the end of 20. I mean, they've said 1,000, but to actually fill in the holes that are left by attrition and all, you know, the other factors that drive police out of the department, they're going to have to do probably. I mean, maybe not probably, but have to do around 2,000 by the end of 2018, I think.
Well, when you're going for those kind of numbers for recruits, it would also seem, and unfortunately, that maybe you slide standards a little bit. If you're like, well, this candidate's kind of on the line, but we're this many short, we got to bring them in a little bit.
I think there are a lot of people who have said they don't want that to happen.
Yes, no one should want that to happen. I mean, that's the ideal.
It's happened in other cities. The Miami Police Department in the 1980s had a pretty big problem because they tried to hire up a bunch of police officers to deal with an influx of refugees from Cuba. Okay. And that was followed by a lot of arrests of police officers. Yeah. In Washington, D.C., had a similar situation, and I believe it was the early 90s. So that's not unprecedented.
Well, hopefully that doesn't become the case, but I know you'll stay on it. Was there anything that we should be buoyed by that came out in the report yesterday? Anything that we can hang our hats on and go, all right, good. Now we believe that the CPD is really doing what they're say they're going to do.
If you take them at their word, that's what this means. I mean, if you're willing to believe what they are outright saying, what they're saying is the lack of federal pressure does not change our desire to substantively change the way the department works. So I'll keep following it and reporting on it, and so will my colleagues, but you know. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this, as a member of the media, and you have been following this and covering this story, and one of the big things after the Justice Department report came out was transparency. We are going to be much more transparent. Have you found that to be true, or are you coming up with some of the same stumbling blocks that were happening before all this?
I mean, we've written about it several times, that we continue to have not complete compliance with Freedom of Information Act law, and I myself have had difficulties. On the other hand, I've also, it tends to be a mixed bag. Sometimes you get what you want, sometimes you do not. So,
all right. Well, Dan, I appreciate the time and the information. You can read Dan Hinkle in the Tribune, and I know you'll be staying on top of all this. So thanks. We'll talk again soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.